I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. A question I'm going to guess maybe you've never asked or thought about, maybe you have. And my question is this: if the church was a business, if our church was a business, what would be our product? Businesses usually produce something, right? Sometimes it's manufacturing, where they produce hard things. Sometimes it's producing intellectual qualities. Sometimes it's producing technical things. Businesses generally produce something. If our church was a business, what would be our product? What would be our product? You ever wondered about that? Ever thought about it? You know that Jesus answers the question. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at that Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus said to the very first believers, "Go and make disciples." Go and make disciples. We could say that making disciples is the product of the church. And you probably know in our capitalistic society that the success of any business is judged by the quality of its product. And if the expected product is of poor quality, the business loses the trust and the respect of the community. Whether we like to admit it or not, that principle applies to the church. There is a product, and we need to pay attention to the quality of that product. Every business that's trying to produce something that will sell has a department that's called quality control. There's one person or more in the business who understands exactly what the product should look like when it comes out at the end, so to speak, and they can be the ones who enforce quality control upon that product. That principle, again, applies to the church. If our product is disciple, then we need to be asking ourselves, are we producing disciples? And if we are, of what quality? Of what quality? Well, to answer that question, we have to look to what Jesus and the New Testament authors teach us about discipleship. Because Jesus, by his life and through his words, and the Apostle Paul and others, those who wrote the New Testament primarily, and the early Christians, the first Christians, through their example and through their teachings, show us what a disciple is. So we can look to them to understand what kind of product are we meant to be producing and what is the quality of that. I want us to think a bit about that this morning. I want us to talk a bit about what true discipleship is and then what a true disciple looks like. We use the word discipleship all the time. We talk about making disciples all the time. But what actually do we mean by discipleship? What is discipleship? Well, let me give you a few examples from the scriptures. Among other things, we learn from the scriptures that true discipleship is more than simply enthusiasm about Jesus. This is an important point. In just a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating the triumphal entry. Jesus riding on a donkey, you remember that wonderful story, as great crowds cheered him on. We find it in Matthew 21. Let me read just a bit of it. It says, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloak on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." On what we call Palm Sunday, during this triumphal entry, there was lots of enthusiasm in Jerusalem about Jesus. They were enthusiastic about him. But of course, we know how this story unravels, don't we? And we know that very possible some of the people that were standing in that crowd throwing palm branches before him may have been in the crowd 5 days later who were crying out, "Crucify him." The enthusiasm didn't last. When Jesus didn't turn out to be who they thought he was, who they demanded him to be, he didn't give them what they expected, and the enthusiasm very quickly waned and disappeared. True discipleship is more than simply being enthusiastic about Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. We should be enthusiastic about Jesus. We talked about this last week when we looked at the Great Commandment, where Jesus, quoting the Old Testament scriptures, said that we should love him with all of our strength, all of our mind, and all of our heart, all of our soul. We should be enthusiastic about Jesus. Absolutely, we should be. But we must be careful that enthusiasm does not become a substitute for substance in our faith. I'm reminded of the parable of the sower. You remember that parable that Jesus taught? It's recorded, among other places, in Matthew 13, where Jesus talks about, he uses the picture of the sower that goes out to sow the seed, and then he uses that metaphor, that picture, to teach us about spreading the seed of the truth of the gospel. Let me read you just a couple of verses from that. Matthew 13, 5 and 6. Some fell, that is, some of the seed, fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they do not have root. True discipleship is enthusiasm about Jesus, no question, but it's more than that. It's getting rooted firmly in the faith, rooted firmly in the Word, rooted firmly in Jesus, so that when the tests and trials of life come, we don't just wither away. True discipleship is enthusiasm for Jesus, but it's more than that. It's getting firmly rooted in him. True discipleship is also more than simply great experiences with Jesus. Let me read you a portion of scripture from Matthew 7 that may surprise you. You probably know it, but it makes us think. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" How is it possible that someone could prophesy, preach the name of Jesus, could drive out demons and perform many miracles, and yet Jesus said, "We don't really know each other. You don't really know me. I don't really know you." Jesus makes it very clear here in his comments about what he expects of us to know him. He says that those who say to me, "The Lord, Lord," will enter the heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Well, that's a multifaceted question with a multifaceted answer, but primarily at its heart is this. The will of God is that we be part of his family. The will of God is that we be part of his family, that we be his child and he be our father, Jesus be our brother. That's the will of God, that we be part of the family, that we know him and he knows us. That's the whole point of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you have great experiences, but you don't know me. You missed the point. You don't know me. Discipleship is great experiences. Let me tell you, if you surrender your life to Christ and you serve him and follow him as a disciple, there will be great experiences. But again, it must be more than that. We must know Jesus and know that he knows us. God's will is for us to have a real relationship with him as his child, born again into the family through the Holy Spirit. Our service, our experiences, must not be a substitute for a genuine relationship with Jesus. Let me say that again. Our service, our experiences, must not be a relationship with Jesus. Indeed, our service and our experiences should proceed from our relationship. Jesus wants a relationship with you and me, above all. God wants a relationship with us as our Father and us as his child. So discipleship is more than enthusiasm. Discipleship is more than great experiences. Discipleship is even more than knowledge. Now, this one may come as a surprise to you. Because in the Western church, we often measure discipleship by the level of knowledge. This is the way I grew up. This is the way I was trained. That you could tell people who were disciples by how much they know. If they know the scriptures, if they can quote the scriptures, if they can tell you the orders of the books of the Bible, if they can kind of give you an overview of the scriptures, if they can expound on the scriptures, that's the mark of a disciple. I was taught to understand a disciple in this way, in 2 Timothy, in Paul's letter to Timothy, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So I understood the disciple was someone who understands the word, knows the word, and knows how to handle the word. That was a measure of a disciple. Knowledge of God, knowledge of his word, is evidently imperative to being a healthy and growing disciple. No question. But if knowledge about God is the sole measure of a disciple, I came to understand that in Jesus' time, if that was the sole measure of a disciple, knowledge about him, the two best disciples in the Bible would be the Pharisees and the devil. Do you know that? Do you know why the Pharisees hated Jesus so much? Talked a little bit about this last week. I mean, they wanted him gone. They wanted him destroyed. Do you know why? Because they knew who he was better than anybody else. They knew what he was claiming to be. They knew what he was saying better than some of his own disciples who were following him around. And they hated him for it. They feared him. So they probably had a higher level of knowledge than those who were actually following Jesus, the 12. And then the Bible reminds us that the devil knows about God, right? He knows about God. James says, you believe there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So certainly discipleship is about knowledge. No question, you can't be a disciple and not know about him. But what we see from the scriptures, what I've come to see, that a true disciple is more than knowing about God. A true disciple, true discipleship is knowing God. Knowing him above all else. And over the years, instead of using 2 Timothy chapter 2, as important as this scripture is, to describe a disciple, I kind of think maybe this would be a better one. We actually sang it this morning. Psalm 42. David said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? It goes beyond just knowing about him to knowing him. True discipleship is enthusiasm, no question. But it's more than that. It's substance. True discipleship is great experiences and wonderful service. But it's more than that. It's knowing him, being in his family. And true discipleship is more than just knowing about God, as important as that is. It's knowing him. God, knowing him. So what does a true disciple then actually look like? Let me just give you a couple of pictures of a true disciple. Obviously, there's many, many more things we could say about it. But let me say this. A true disciple is committed to Jesus and not just fascinated with him. A true disciple is committed to Jesus, not just fascinated with him. If you go back to that street, the triumphal entry as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, we see people who are fascinated, rightly so, who are fascinated with Jesus. He's fascinating, no question. But we know that this fascination, sadly, did not lead, in most cases, to commitment. And many today are fascinated by Jesus. My 40 years of ministry as a pastor, I've met lots of people fascinated with Jesus, but not committed to it. And many today are fascinated with Jesus. They're fascinated with him as a religious figure. They're fascinated with him as a historical figure. But they're not committed to him And commitment is the mark of a true disciple. You know that Jesus suggested that our relationship with him was like a marriage. You know, Jesus said, I'm the bridegroom. The church is the bride. The Apostle Paul in his writings, John in that great last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, uses that picture. Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. We are related to him in a marriage relationship, a love relationship. Now, a love relationship always begins with fascination, right? That's where it starts in our culture, is with fascination. But to be healthy, to be fulfilling, to be productive, a marriage has to move beyond fascination to mutual commitment. That's why Jesus uses that picture. That's why he uses the picture, why Paul builds on that picture of the church being the bride of Christ. That our relationship is a relationship of love. It certainly is a relationship of fascination. I know you're fascinated by Jesus. You're here. I'm fascinated by him as well. But we also know that it must move to commitment to him. To commitment to him. I love this interchange recorded in John 21 between Jesus and Peter. After they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than life? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then at the end of the interchange, he says, and then he said to him, follow me. What's happening here? Jesus, of course, is preparing Peter for something he doesn't know yet is coming, which is the crucifixion. Jesus knows it's going to get tough, guys. Maybe it's been easy following me around up till now, but it's going to get tough. Because the crucifixion is I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be mistreated, I'm going to die a horrible death on the cursed cross. It's going to get tough. And what Jesus was saying to Peter, and you can be sure that all the others are watching, is your love for me better go beyond fascination. It better go to commitment, or you're not going to make it. Right? You're not going to make it. We face tests in life. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. We face tests of our faith in life. We're not going to make it if we're just fascinated with Jesus. And as I think of 40 years of ministry, I've seen so many people who've fallen away in the test. They've wandered away from God because they were fascinated with him, but they were not committed to him. And they didn't last through the test. A true disciple is fascinated with Jesus, no question, but they move beyond that to commitment. A true disciple is obedient to Jesus. In action, not just in words. Hundreds of years before the triumphal entry, the prophet Isaiah had already revealed the true state of the heart of these people who lined the streets that day. He says, he quoted God, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That described many in that crowd, didn't it? They had all the right words, but their hearts were not true. We saw last week in John 14 where Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. This is just another way of saying that true love and commitment are proven by our actions. Proven by our actions. I love that parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 7 about the foolish man that built his house on the sand, the wise man that built his house on the rock. Remember that? Jesus said this about the man who built his house on a rock. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's the key. A true disciple hears the words, and then he or she puts them into practice. You see, a disciple is many things. A disciple is a learner, no question. A disciple is a student taking entry. A disciple is a follower trying to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But above all, I think, a disciple is a doer, one who takes the truth and puts it into action, one who is passionate about Jesus, but proves their passion through their life, through their choices, through their walk with him. That is how a disciple looks. So we must ask ourselves, am I a true disciple of Jesus, or am I merely fascinated by him? Am I growing in my knowledge of about Jesus, or am I growing to know him? Is that knowledge translating into commitment and action? Is our church producing disciples? Are we producing quality product? Let's pray. Our Father, together this morning we humbly accept this call to discipleship. Lord, we confess together that we often fail and fall short of all that that means. But Lord, we do indeed have the will to move our discipleship beyond fascination, beyond service, to knowing you, loving you, living in you, walking in you, and being committed to you, and living out our convictions. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we have our